Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. Welcome to episode 171 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And guess what? I am broadcasting from dry land. That's right. I'm home after four cruises, the last of which was the 80s cruise, which I got to tell you, I can't do another Prince tribute. I loved him. His music was brilliant. I can't handle another Prince tribute. I've heard so many versions of Purple Rain that just stop it. But it was fun. People were fun. We had a good time. Done. Back. Back just in time for today, which today is not my President's Day, which is actually President's Day, but there are protests people are holding for not my President's Day, more anti-Trump protests and rallies. And I did Adam Carolla's podcast today. I always love doing a podcast with Adam. And we talked about this, and here's what's going on with these protests. In my opinion, there are too many of them. And we talked about this. What happens is the powers that be, whether those powers be the government or police departments or corporations or whoever's getting protested against, all they do is wait it out, because next week there'll be another protest over something else. For example, last week there was an immigration protest, right? A day without an immigrant, where immigrants were going to not go to work to protest the rounding up of immigrants by the Trump administration. I read an article last week, and it was titled, What Happened to Black Lives Matter? I mean, they still matter, but we don't hear about Black Lives Matter. But the article was interesting because what happened to Black Lives Matter, and I really think this article hit it right on the head, was it was turned from a protest movement to some kind of violent anti-life, anti-white movement, which it never was. Black Lives Matter was quite simply saying that black lives do matter, that police were unjustly killing too many black people. They would never get charged with a crime. And they were saying, look, our lives matter. We're human. This is a human life we've taken for no reason and with no penalty. And it was turned into, you know, wait a minute, that's saying white lives don't matter, which it never said. And the all lives matter. Then it was blue lives matter. And it actually worked. Unfortunately, Black Lives Matter wasn't a riot movement. There were a couple of riots. I saw a great documentary. It's called Do Not Resist. And it's about the militarizing of police departments. And one of the things that a police chief said was regarding Ferguson. He said, as soon as you fire tear gas, you go from protest to riot. And that happened repeatedly. We saw it happen repeatedly. But anyway, getting away from my point. My point is, if everyone protests, all they do is wait, because next week there'll be another protest. And so we won't have to act on this one. Listen, we know Donald Trump's an asshole. We know Donald Trump is clueless. We know Donald Trump is an embarrassment on the world stage. Now he's just making shit up. The press conference Thursday, if you heard that one, he was talking about his Muslim ban, which came out as a ban. Then they said it wasn't a ban. And then when the courts overturned it, they said the courts overturned our ban. Okay, so we know it was a ban, but this is what he said. Quote, you have to keep our country safe. You look at what's happening. We got to keep our country safe. You look at what's happening in Germany. Look what's happening last night in Sweden. Then he comes on, Sweden, who would believe this? Well, nobody. You know why? Because nothing happened in Sweden. Sweden was like, what the fuck are you talking about? He literally just made that up. So there was no terrorist act in Sweden, no problem with refugees or immigrants in Sweden. He just figured he'd make it up. And let me tell you something, Sweden would know, because Swedish people are pretty uniform in appearance, right? Tall, blonde. I mean, if one of them immigrant terrorists slips in, you're probably going to get noticed in Sweden. But no, even the Swedes were like, the hell are you talking about? So we all know what a bad president he is, but the protests, I don't think they care. Honestly, I don't think they care. I'm not saying stop protesting. Well, who the hell's listening to me? You guys are, and I appreciate it. But I'm saying it would probably take a more organized movement with a leader. I mean, the civil rights protests of the 60s, which will come back because once Jeff Sessions is done, the civil rights gained in the 60s will all be gone. But there was, you know, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and there were leaders. And Martin Luther King had access to the president, would talk to the president about what was going on. And those protests were economic. Those boycotts, boycotting the buses and so on, when you hit them in the wallet, they tend to notice, okay? Which leads me to another great story I read, because, you know, these people, hey, I'm going to go ahead and say something they don't like. The chickens are coming home to roost. So Central California, if you don't know it, is a huge agricultural community. All types of food is grown there. Some of the biggest agribusiness in the country is done in Central California. And there's still farmers. And there's always been a big fight between the farmers in Central California and the cities like LA and San Francisco over who gets the water. And then, of course, there are the environmentalists who want to protect certain species that live in the water, et cetera, et cetera. So this farmer, Joe Del Bosque, grows almonds, melons, asparagus, et cetera, in the San Joaquin Valley. That's where the farmers, where the food is grown. So farmers were complaining. They were worried about water. Blah, 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 right? So Donald Trump comes along, and Donald Trump says to him, there is no drought. Now, we all know there's been a drought in California for years, but that would be science. They don't like science. So Donald Trump says, there is no drought. He says, the federal government is holding back on your water. They're not letting you have your water, blah, 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 blah. So the farmers love this. They're like, yeah, shut down the federal government. No regulations. Give us all our water. Because they do, I don't know if ration is the right word, control. They control the flow of water, and it costs money, et cetera, et cetera. For example, federal water cost $220 per acre foot last year. This farmer, Del Bosque, couldn't get enough, and he had to go to some water districts that were charging $1,000 to $1,300 per acre foot. So that's real. So now here's what happens. We got plenty of water now. It has been record-setting rainfall in California as the snow packs up. There's too much water. You've heard about it. Rivers flooding, dams flooding, spillways needing to be expanded, et cetera, et cetera. Bunch of water. Okay. You know what? You know what these guys are, upset about now? His immigration policies. That's right. And it's from the article. If they like Trump's stance on water, his harsh immigration policies and vows to deport people in the country illegally could make harvesting the fields impossible. I think a lot of them thought he was just blowing smoke, Del Bosque said. And then, of course, Trump assumed office. That's right. That's right. You people, and I'm using that word people because I don't want to call them idiots, but you know what I'm saying. They voted for Trump, right? Because, there is no drought. Well, guess what? Now you're not going to have any workers. This guy, in the area he lives in, there's a combined population, total population of 20,000. That includes children and everybody. Now he says, I need 300 people for to pick the melons. Then there's like six other melon guys who need 300 people. One guy needs 900 people. So that's 3,000 people to harvest. Then you got the tomato guys, the grape guys, the garlic guys. They all need people. There are not enough people in little towns to harvest all of. Well, too bad. All right. Too fucking bad. You wanted this. You got it. You got this. You got it. You want them to round up immigrants and send them on their way. You got your wish. Okay. Look what happened in Sweden. Huh? Could have been one of them farmers in Sweden or something. Yeah, that's what it was. Last night in Sweden, now we didn't know about this terrorist because the fake news, which is the media, didn't report the fake terrorist act, which in Trump's mind really happened, but didn't because no one else saw it. But anyway, it was done by an immigrant. You know, some bitch refugee immigrants, the illegal sumbitch came in and did some secret terror act that nobody else saw except Donald Trump, but it won't be reported by the lamestream media because they're working on fake news, which is news that the shit never happened. Are you confused yet? I'm trying. So now these farmers are upset that they won't have anyone to pick their melons. Well, that's just too fucking bad, all right? Because this is what you voted for, and this is what you get. That plain and simple. So God bless you. Good luck. And maybe you can teach some, I don't know. I don't know who you're going to teach to pick melons. I said it years ago. Black people, we ain't picking shit. We have served our picking time. Yes, a joke from the first special. I brought it back. It still applies. Sorry. White people, good luck with that. I don't know. I honestly don't know what they're going to do. But this is, well, you know something? This isn't a problem. That's right. Because the roundup of immigrants is fake news. That didn't actually happen, even though we saw it happening. And well, they were only going after the criminals. Right. So they knock on the door and they say, hey, we're looking for a criminal. Oh, no criminal here. Well, as long as we're here, how about we check everyone's papers? Yeah, that's how they do it. And it so you reap what you sow. You're a farmer. You understand that. You reap what you sow. Central Valley farming people, there is no drought. It was made up. The federal government created it. They're out to get you. Well, guess what? They're going to get you because they're taking away your workforce. So good luck with those melons. All right. So enough of that. Now we've reached the point that the Trump administration is running around just trying to, I don't even know if it's damage control or if they have to make up a lie to cover the lie that he made up. So the Secretary of Defense is traveling around the world through Europe and then Iraq and just trying to clean up. So Jim Mattis, the new Secretary of Defense, first trip to Iraq, and he's there to say that we are not here to take the oil. He says, all of us in America have generally paid for their gas and oil all along, and I'm sure we will continue to do so in the future. We are not in Iraq to seize anybody's oil. You know who said we're going to Iraq to seize the oil? Donald Trump, your boss, the guy who got you the job. So are we there to seize the oil or not seize the oil? Only time will tell, but I wouldn't trust this son of a bitch. I wouldn't believe a word out of his mouth. And I don't think Europe does either. Europe is scared to death, scared and laughing at the same time. After Trump's last press conference, this person was there, and you know, the reporter covering this story said that there was one conversation where a European official said the United States is now on the list of risk factors for Europe. I'm sorry to laugh, but how bad is that? German officials joked that American diplomats and civil service organizations could now qualify for German democracy funding, money designated for countries with struggling democratic institutions. They're laughing and crying and scared at the same time because they don't know what this sumbitch might say. He just making up terrorist attacks and we're going to take the oil. We're not going to take the oil. And he's threatening people. He's talking about everything except Russia. And you know, talk about Russia. You know why? Because Putin said, you better not talk about Russia, right? Putin's like the big brother who said, listen, you don't talk about the family when you're in the streets. All right. So anyway, maybe we'll get some money. Maybe, look, Trump wants money, right? He says that NATO doesn't contribute enough money. So maybe this German Democracy Fund will give us some money to help our struggling democratic institution. And I think we will be struggling for a while, but there was one thing I read that was very interesting. And thank you for playing along and listening to me ramble. All right. And I am rambling, but it's all good. So this article is entitled New Reality, and it says the Scrooge generation turns socialist. So they're talking about the millennials will embrace socialism or definitely embrace the left. The theory behind the article, American politics are driven by generational change. The election of Donald Trump was not just a triumph of whiter heartland America. It also confirmed the still considerable voting power of the older generations. Generations decline, die off, and new ones ascend. So they broke down the generations, which I always love because I don't exist in this breakdown. Okay, so we start out the greatest generation. This was the civic generation. These were people born between 1901 and 1927. These were the people that survived the Depression, okay? And they were very civic-minded. They embraced the idea that the government provided an ideal mechanism to address the nation's problems, okay? And they had things like Social Security and various work programs and so on. They tend to be left-wing. Now, keep in mind when I go through this, you can't count minorities. Obviously, blacks and Latinos were not counted in any of these surveys, and I'll tell you why, because blacks and Latinos tend to go left. Why? The last thing blacks and Latinos want is a conservative agenda, the good old days, the status quo. It doesn't work out in our favor. So, yeah, we're brainwashed to vote Democratic. Sorry, Omarosa, but that's how we do. So forget about that. We'll just go with this. So they were left wing. They believed in government. They were the greatest generation. It's progressive. Problem is, there aren't many left. Okay. They favored Democrats in the last election, but they're obviously dying off. Born 1901 and 1921. Now, next, the silent generation. These are people born between 1925 and 1942. Mostly came of age in the conservative 50s. Again, how many black people you think in the 50s were happy with the status quo? We just don't count in these things. These products of the Eisenhower era have been prime beneficiaries of a sustained boom that took root between the end of the Second World War and the 70s. They have about 33% of the nation's wealth, and they're getting old, but they lean right. They got a bunch of money. They want things to stay as they are. They grew up in a conservative time. They grew up in the 50s, right? Leave it to be. I don't know if you ever watch anything from the 50s. In the 50s, there were no Latinos except Ricky Ricardo. I think Ricky Ricardo was the only Spanish-born person in the United States. Black people were around, but they knew their place. There was segregation, and black people were subservient. Women didn't work, didn't talk back. They cooked. They knew their place. So this is the time that these people grew up with, this bullshit Leave It to Beaver lifestyle, and they want to keep that. So they're conservative. Okay, moving on. The big one, the baby boomers. Okay, the largest generation in American history. Baby boomers were born between 1943 and 1960. They remained the power generation. Both presidential candidates were baby boomers, blah, blah, blah. They dominate Congress. 270 members of Congress are baby boomers. And the boomers are divided. Okay. They started out left, you know, peace protests, psychedelics in the 60s. But then they've moved to the right. Okay, and that's they were yuppies. They made a lot of money, and they wanted to keep it. They lean 42% Democratic, 49% Republican. Do the math. I don't know, but anyway, the boomers did support Donald Trump. They're more socially liberal than the silent generation. But they still economically, they don't like the government. They don't like rules. The only thing that they're in trouble with the current administration is they want to keep Medicare and Social Security and pensions because they're getting older. So they don't like Paul Ryan, but Trump promised he won't touch that shit. Yeah, right. Okay, now move to Generation X. See, this is where I get jumped. Because Generation X starts in 65. So what about those of us born between 1960 and 65? I guess we're even more quiet than the silent generation. We don't count at all. But anyway, Generation X, about 65 million of them. Smaller generation than the boomers, but they're gaining control in politics. They're becoming the main force, because they're moving into that middle age where you have the highest earning power, et cetera, et cetera. Generation Xers will have 31% of the nation's wealth by 2030. So they're going to become the dominant generation, okay? Generation X, a lot of them are in management. They've had a tougher economic ride than baby boomers. They got hit in the 2007 housing crash. They don't own as many homes as they did as the baby boomers, as their parents. And let's see, what does it say? They're about even, I guess. Let's see. Yeah, so they're tend to lean a little to the right. Finally, we get to the millennials. And the millennials were born between 84 and 2004. And they seem susceptible, I'm reading from the article, to the quasi-socialist ideology of the post-Obama Democratic Party. Far more liberal on key social issues, including gender and gay rights, immigration, marijuana legalization. Yeah, that's normal for them. 40% of millennials come from minority groups. Finally, we count. And millennials like activist government. They want larger government. They want the government to help. Why? Because millennials face the worst economic circumstances of any generation since the Depression. So big challenge to home ownership, etc. So they're not happy with capitalism because they're on the short end of the stick. Now, this could change in time as they inherit money. But right now, in the last election, 60% were leaning Democratic. And that was when Obama was elected. And then in 2012, last election, 2016, 55% Democratic. So the millennials are going to want the government to take care of some shit, government regulation, et cetera, et cetera. I guess we'll see how this plays out. Says roughly half the millennials have positive feelings about socialism, which is twice the rate of the previous generation. And the only thing is, these millennials are more likely to embrace limits on free speech because they don't want anyone's feelings hurt. So that's that politically correct part. I don't know. I just found this interesting. I don't know if it's going to take that long for the country to go left. I think a lot of it's going to depend on what happens to the country under this Trump administration. Because while there's been a lot of talk and a lot of ridiculousness, we really don't know the impact of this Trump administration yet, other than businesses are going to just keep getting deregulated and go nuts. Businesses are going bananas. Banks, you know how happy banks are? He's about to remove all their rules. My favorite one is the rule on investment counselors that say that they have to put the client's interests first. Like that, they literally had to make that a law, and they're removing regulation, and they're removing the regulation. Why should you put the clients first? You take care of you. That's how it's going to be. So it's going to be interesting to see. But these millennials are upset. These millennials are getting screwed. They're not able to buy homes. They don't have good jobs. They're in a service economy. There's no longer a manufacturing economy. And the future looks grim. So we'll see what they do with it. I wish them luck. There's finally minorities. They finally counted them. So we'll see how that goes. Okay. Enough of that. Let's get to the important stuff. Sports. I love sports. I don't know why. It's because it's an escape. I watched the NBA All-Star Weekend, the dunk contest. Incredibly disappointing. Dunk contest used to be the highlight. There's some good dunks, but nothing spectacular. A lot of missed dunks. Amazing how many NBA players miss dunks. How many athletic guys between the heights of 6'5 and 6'11 are missing dunks? Maybe they should start with the basic. Just dunk the ball. No defense in the game. I think it was one of the organized protests. I think the NBA players protest against the difficulty of scoring against defense by not playing defense. So one more. I told you, too many protests. They don't work. You protest defense by not playing defense, and you get a score of 192 to 176 or something like that. I don't even know how much the score was. New scoring record, 52 points in a game by Anthony Davis, blah, 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 blah. Fun to watch. Yeah, that's all I got. Honestly, it was fun to watch. There were some, you know, they clown around. I think they should just let them clown around. I think it should be more like a Globetrotter game. Just suspend the rules and do dunks and half-court shots and put a ball on a rubber band. What the hell? It's always funny when the Globetrotters did it. Let's see Steph Curry shoot jumpers with the ball on a rubber band so he can get it back and shoot it again. I'd pay to watch that. No. Well, yeah, I guess I do pay to watch it. I got cable. Cable costs money. Although Spectrum Cable is the greatest in the... How does Time Warner get away with that? Just changing their name. It's still screwing me. My bill hasn't gone down a bit. Yet somehow Spectrum is supposed to be a great cable company. Yeah, whatever. Finally, and I love this for this time of year. Spring training. Pitchers and catchers are back. We're playing baseball again. The great thing about spring training, there's a few great things. One, everyone has hope. My Mets have hope. Your Cleveland Indians have hope. Your Tampa Bay Rays have hope. Your Houston Astros have hope. Your Dodgers have hope. Doesn't matter where your team is, how your Seattle Mariners, doesn't matter how your team did last season. It's spring training. Everything's new and you have hope. The other great thing about spring training, it lets us know spring is coming. Yeah, it's going to get a little warmer out. It's going to get a little nicer out. We're playing baseball again. Look, I know America doesn't love baseball like we used to, but can we love baseball for the next 6 weeks at least? Then in April, we'll start playing baseball way too soon in cold climates, and somebody will be in Minnesota playing baseball, and it'll be 32 degrees. But right now, spring training brings hope. Everybody's happy. I'm happy. You're happy. I'm back on land. I can go to movies. I want to see John Wick Part 2. I saw John Wick. I love John Wick. I know a lot of people don't like Keanu Reeves. He's just walking through the movie killing folks. And I still say, are you listening, Mr. John Heffron? I still say that John Wick would kick Jason Bourne's ass, okay? He actually would just kill him because John Wick doesn't kick ass. He just kills people. So it's fun to be back with stuff like that. If you want to laugh, Roy Wood Jr. has a new comedy special called Father Figure. Roy Wood Jr. is a correspondent on The Daily Show. He's a friend. Yeah, I am biased. He's a great comic. He is absolutely hilarious. Check him out this way. And it's still late to get on board, but you can still say, yeah, I knew Roy back in the day, because Roy's going to be a force in this comedy game. The guy's brilliantly funny. So I'm plugging his special, Comedy Central, Father Figure, starring Roy Wood Jr. He's great. Speaking of comedy, I'm going to be at Bananas in Hasbrook Heights, my favorite Holiday Inn ballroom comedy club, this Friday and Saturday, February 24th and 25th. Next weekend, for my first time, I'm going to go to Vermont, to the Vermont Comedy Club in Burlington, Vermont, and I'm going to go to Bernie's backyard. You talk about somewhere where millennials rule. Bernie's backyard should be. That should be the spot. They love Bernie. I like Bernie too. So we'll see how it goes. That's next weekend. That's going to be happening in Burlington, Vermont, March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, I believe. And like I said, I did Adam Carolla podcast. You can catch me online on that. I love you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for paying attention. This is Alonzo Bowden signing off.